Now, it's more than 2 years since Russia invaded Ukraine, and for most of that time, Ukraine has been stuck in a grim war of attrition, slowly winning or losing ground on the front line, with civilians and infrastructure under fire from Russian strikes. So a cross-border attack from Ukraine into Russia's Kursk region is a surprise. And for more on what's going on, the BBC's Ukraine correspondent, James Waterhouse, is on the line. James, tell us what's going on. Tell us about this counterattack from Ukraine.
Well, just to give you an idea, I mean, cross-border attacks like this against the grain of Russia's invasion are rare. Ukraine has done it in the past with pro-Ukrainian Russian militants, which have been absorbed into its military, with the objective there being mostly psychological. Here, if you look at the reports that are really coming in from the Russian side, it's clear we're talking about hundreds of soldiers with armored vehicles, with several missile and rocket attacks. And it seems they have advanced around 10 kilometers so far into Russian territory, into that Kursk region, where two towns have reportedly been seized and around 11 settlements. This is something sizable. And if you look at the noise that was coming from the Russian side yesterday, I think they've been blindsided to a degree. You know, the fears on this side of the border were of a further Russian attack further north, because tens of thousands of Russian troops have been gathering on the border for some time. And clearly, Ukraine has been looking to get the first punch in. And if its goal was to draw troops and to suppress a future attack, it succeeded in that, it looks like, in the short term at least.
What has the Russian reaction been, and also the US reaction? Because they'd put a brake effectively on Ukraine, hadn't they, up to now, in doing too much against Russia directly?
Yeah, this is politically sensitive. You know, many will remember when Russia launched a major cross-border incursion in May into Ukraine's northeastern Kharkiv region. And Ukraine was just making the political argument, look, we're fighting with one hand behind our back because we're not allowed to use those Western missiles on targets inside Russia. The Biden administration allowed that to happen as long as it was a defensive measure and as long as it was close to the border. You can be sure that there would have been some kind of Western permission granted for an operation of this size. Nevertheless, what we're hearing from the White House, from the National Security Advisor John Kirby, is that they claim they weren't aware of this happening, but they said they continue to give Ukraine what it needs to defend itself, and it would certainly be seeking future answers. But on the Russian side, you know, they've accused Ukraine of a major provocation, you know, which is, you know, will make a lot of Ukrainian eyes roll from where I am.
What's the strategic goal here? What does this attack achieve for Ukraine if it succeeds? And what's at risk if they're rebuffed and pushed back?
Well, this isn't Ukraine, I don't think, looking to capture and occupy Russian territory. This is not a like with like. You're not going to see them install puppet officials and try and claim it as Ukrainian land. What this is, I think, is trying to draw Russian resources and men. When you have an attack of this size, you know, reportedly Wagner mercenaries are being sent in by the Russians. There are local National Guard units. There are other army garrisons being pulled in. You know, this is having that effect. And so if you're Russia and you're looking to mount future offensives in Ukraine's north, this frustrates that in a very real way. But of course, when you look further ahead, what is in it for Ukraine? Because we are talking about a fighting force that is outnumbered in about just about every way against the Russians. It's the current biggest battlefield issue for Ukraine. So if this operation doesn't have the desired effect in the medium term, and many critics and many military analysts already saying it, they will see this as a needless waste of valuable lives.
And otherwise, the war, after more than 2 years, it seems to have settled into a grim war of attrition. Which side is bearing up the most, especially with the prospect of a US election that could see an American president and vice president far less favourable to the government in Ukraine?
Well, at the moment, you know, despite this quite shocking attack across the border, it is Russia that still has momentum. It is Russia that is capturing more territory than Ukraine was able to liberate in the whole of last year. And there is an eastern town called Pokrovsk, which is increasingly falling to within Russia's sights. I've been there several times. It's become increasingly a military town. A lot of people live there. And that is the story of the East. It is Russia taking more and more territory. And even with Ukraine's military aid problems being addressed after political disagreements across the Atlantic, it's struggling to mobilize enough men. So I think when you look at that Russian dominance, when you look at Ukraine's own domestic challenges in trying to call enough men up, something seen as deeply unpopular now, something a lot of men are frightened of, these are very difficult times for Ukraine. And it acknowledges that its goal this year is to simply hold on. Any talk of liberation has been shelved until next year. And that's if even Ukraine can make it that far. So for Ukraine, it's binary. Keep fighting. Any idea of compromise is seen as just falling directly into Russia's hands.
All right, James, thank you for giving us that very comprehensive overview. That's James Waterhouse, the BBC Ukraine correspondent.